All right, I want to welcome everybody to Wednesday evening Bible study. Again, we're going through the early chapters of Genesis. Tonight we'll be in Genesis chapter 4. Don't know how far we're going to get. We'll just see how it goes, and hopefully we'll have some good discussions and maybe clear up some issues. So beginning in the chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife Eve. Now this, of course, is right after the chapter 3, where we had the fall and sin entering into the world. And Adam and Eve have been banned from the garden, so they are not in the Garden of Eden at this time. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay, so we have two babies being born. It's interesting because in some of the commentaries I read, it said that there were some scholars that think that these two men, or when they were babies, might have been twins. I don't see that because it says, I have acquired a man from the Lord, then she bore again. Mm-hmm. So I don't see how they think they were twins, but that just goes to show you how people jump to conclusions without good evidence. And then it says, Abel was the keeper of a sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So these were the first babies ever, okay, because Adam and Eve were created mature. So Cain being the very first baby ever, Abel being the second one. Now, we know just like that, we have a period of time because they certainly did not start their occupations as babies. So they've grown up. We do not know how much time has passed or what happened between this time. But we do know that in Genesis, it'll give you a story in general, and then it might go back and pick up on some details later. So you have to keep that in mind. And then it says there in verse 3, and in the process of time. So they've grown up. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they've grown up. They're in these vocations. And then it says, and in the process of time, so we don't know how much time that was, it came to pass. So one day, it's going to go into detail about a certain thing that happened. So they're up, they're working, they're doing their jobs, everything's okay. And then something happened, and it's telling us about this one time that something strange happened. So it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So that lip came out. He was pouting. He was sad. He was sad and he was mad.
Yeah, he was sad and mad.
That's right. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, again, the Lord knows this, but he's trying to get Cain to tell him. And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? So he's saying, you know what you're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. If you do the right thing, you know that you'll be accepted. So that tells me that Cain's probably done this before. He's probably taken sacrifices to the Lord before. Mm-hmm. But he decided, no, this time I'm going to bring something that I did.
Yeah.
So he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And I had a paper here. Let's see if I still got it. Hello. Is that it? Thank you. I have there's some verses I want us to look at about this. First of all, Titus, if we look at Titus 3:5, of course that's in the New Testament,
yeah,
toward the end there. I think it's after Timothy.
Okay. Yeah, he's hard to find. Or James.
Yeah. So let's find right after Timothy. Mm-hmm. Titus 3:5. This is an incredible verse right here. says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Mm-hmm. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now this is a lot like my favorite verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know, we're saved by grace, not by works.
Yes.
And so, you know, he's saying not by works.
Oh, so you're going to say that's what Cain was giving.
Yes, it was his own works that he was trying to do. So even back in Genesis chapter 4, that was going on. And then we have another verse to look at, Hebrews. Yeah, go back to Hebrews. Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 4. Hebrews 11 verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Now, whoever the author of the Hebrews was, some people think it was Paul, but whoever it was apparently did not think all these stories were just myths, did he? He believed that Abel and Cain were real people.
Yeah.
And Jesus talked about Abel, too, as a real person. But notice he says, by faith, Abel offered to God. So, if he did this because of faith, then that means that God had told him at one time or another, this is what you should do. And he did it because God told him to.
He told us that.
So I know that he must have also told Cain, this is what you're supposed to do. Abel did it by faith because he believed God. Cain did not. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There's a Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I know I'm running around the Bible more than I usually do. Right after Acts, Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Well, that gets into something else. But what he's saying here is that there, and this is something that J. Vernon kind of gets into, and I don't really agree with him that much. He's saying that before the law, which Moses came up with the law many years later than this, you know, like, let's see, Moses was around 1500 B.C., so we're talking like 2,000, at least 2,000, 2,500 years later. But he's saying because there was no law, there was no transgression.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. There was no transgression of the law because the law wasn't there. But he's saying, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, he's saying that God did not punish Cain for what he did. You know, he didn't strike him down. He didn't murder him because he'd murdered Abel. He said that he didn't punish him, but yet he did punish him. And,
oh, yeah.
we'll get into that later.
It says he
did punish him. And that's something I want to get into. But let's look at this last verse. James 1:15. James 1:15. Hebrews and James 1:15. Okay. All right. He says, remember when God said sin lieth at the door? Remember he says, if you don't do the right thing, sin lieth at the door. He says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You find it? James 1:15. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So God is saying, if you don't change your attitude, it's going to cause you problems. I can see you're angry. You got to get over this anger, or it's going to lead to greater things, which
yeah,
it did.
And it did.
And it did. So he says, let me get back. I was on the flipped it
verse
there.
Verse 8.
Okay. It says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Okay. We don't know what they said. Now, Cain probably didn't know at this time that Abel's was accepted until he talked to him. Probably went out and said, hey, he didn't accept mine. Did he accept yours? And Abel said, well, yeah, like I always do. I went and got, part of the flock. And
Here, they're just explaining that this part here that we've already read, that Cain's wasn't accepted by the Lord, but Abel's was.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I'm assuming they may have come at different times. He may not have known at this time.
Right.
But he suspects, probably. So he goes and asks Abel, and Abel says, well, yeah, mine was accepted. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel's brother and killed him because he was mad, he was jealous. His wasn't accepted, and yet Abel's was. And boy, he was just so mad. The sin of his anger had made his sin become a reality. Then the Lord said to Cain,
yeah,
where's Abel, your brother? Of course, he knows where he is. Yeah. He's wanting to see if he'll tell him.
Here
is one of the most insolent, impudent answers I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Somebody, you talk about being disrespectful to God.
Exactly.
He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? In other words, it's not my day to watch him, you know.
And he's talking to a holy God.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God's saying, what have you done? And of course, he knows. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And you spilt his blood on the ground.
Uh-huh.
We don't know what he did to Abel. Might have cut him, slit his throat. We don't know what he did. He killed him. So now, and here comes the punishment. You are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. So even though the earth was cursed and even though there were weeds, they could still get rid of them and they could still have a bumper crop. But now he's saying you're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to yield its strength to you like it does others.
Mm-hmm.
He says, a fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. So he's not going to be able to settle down. He's not going to be able to get enough food, enough crops to really be stable. And he's just going to have to go from one place to the other, try to get whatever he can, like a gypsy or something, you know, just somebody going around trying to just get his next bite of food. So it was and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Okay. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. Now, here he is complaining about, oh, I won't be able to see your face anymore. And look what he said. Am I my brother's keeper? You know?
Yeah.
So he was being smart aleck, and now he's saying, oh, I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. Well, yeah. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Now, here is the first question.
Mm.
Who the heck is anyone? All right? Who is anyone? Now, see, a lot of people assume that up to this time, there's still just four people on the earth. They assume that there's just Adam and Eve, Cain,
mm-hmm.
and Abel. But God had told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Now, we know it took time. It took years for these two babies to grow up to be adults where they could have jobs. Okay, and then even after that, it says, and in the process of time,
mm-hmm.
we also know that Adam and Eve had other children. Okay,
yes, that's right.
And again, like I say, we don't know how much time passed from the first two babies that were born to this story. So
right.
Obviously, during this time, Adam and Eve has had other children, they've grown up and had children. We don't know, you know, how many there were. But obviously, there were other people on the earth at this time, all from Adam and Eve.
That's right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he says, anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever, there you go, there's that word, whoever. We have anyone, we have whoever, which indicates that there are other people now. Whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So, the Lord didn't want someone, when they found out what Cain did, he put a mark on him of protection. In other words, Lord is saying, I am punishing him the way I want to punish him. I don't want him killed because I want him to live his whole life going through this punishment. I want him to be a fugitive. If you kill him, you're doing him a favor. See what I'm saying? He's saying, because I'm punishing him my way. He's going to be, he can't settle down at all. He's going to be running all over the earth, a fugitive and a vagabond, whatever. And he says, I don't want anyone to kill him.
Yeah, but now, I don't know why I've got this here. I wrote it here for a purpose, but on 16, so mine says, so Cain left the Lord's presence, settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote out here that, you know, how God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Would that be?
That's, I mean, you know, that's kind of, you could kind of use that there. I mean, it's applicable. So let's look at that. Let me read that verse. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Now, where'd that come from? Where's this land of Nod? Obviously, there were people there that had settled and gave this place a name. Okay?
Well, my Bible says Nod means wandering.
Wandering. Okay. Well, but this is a name of a piece of land. So I guess it would be suitable for him because it matches what he's going to have to do.
Well, up there it says he's a homeless wanderer. Of course, right. Mine says homeless wanderer. Yours probably says something.
So it could be that this land of Nod was a, you know, a large place, maybe just a place where you just kind of drift. You can't really settle down anywhere.
Yeah.
And it says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city. Now, if you're going to have a city, you got to have people to go there, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, Mahujael begot Methushael, Methushael begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. Now, we see polygamy throughout. This was the first instance of polygamy, you know, more than one wife.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean that God approved of it.
Yeah.
But it's just history. I mean, when God inspired Moses to write this, he said, write it the way it was. Don't sugarcoat it. Write down what happened. And so he took for himself two wives and says the name of one was Ada and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And a sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, for a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Well, he's kind of twisting things around here. He's saying that he claims that he killed a man out of self-defense. Says for wounding him. But he says, if somebody kills Cain, they're really going to be in trouble because the Lord doesn't want Cain killed. He wants him to have to. So he says, then if someone kills me, it's going to be that much harder on you. Well, the Lord didn't say anything about Lamech. Lamech is just trying to bring this up to protect himself.
Yeah.
So it says, then Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. Now, again, at this point, a lot of people just assume that Seth came right after Abel. And at this point, you've got five people on the earth. Absolutely not true, obviously.
Mm-mm.
For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, some people might say, well, yeah, but see what they did. They went back in time. You know, they went ahead and talked about all of Cain's offspring. And then they go back to talk about her having Seth as a replacement for Abel. But this is what you got to remember. Seth wasn't born until Cain and Abel were full grown and had jobs. And because Abel hadn't died. You know, so a lot of time passed before Abel was killed. Because he says to replace Abel. Okay? So she didn't have Seth a year or two after she had Abel.
Mm-mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Not until after Abel was grown and mature, and we don't know how long after that, after he was killed, then she had Seth to replace Abel. Okay, and in the meantime, there were multiple, no doubt, multiple children born to them.
Adam and Eve.
Right.
Right.
Right. So another thing, this is a question Ken Ham answers for Genesis. He goes and talks, gives speeches everywhere. And he said, that one of the questions that he always gets is, how did Cain get a wife? Because where it says, and Cain knew his wife and she had for him, you know, the offspring. Mm-hmm. Well, where did Cain get his wife? Well, obviously, you go back again and there were all these children born. So it had to be a close relative. It had to be a sister or someone, if not a sister, you know. Yeah. And again, well, you're not supposed to marry close relatives. Well, there wasn't anybody else. You didn't have a choice. And like we talked about last week, it wasn't a problem. The reason that we are not to intermarry, marry close relatives is because of what can happen genetically. Mm-hmm. And that's because we have so many mutations now in our DNA, and people who are related have a chance of having the same mutations. And so those mutations meet together, one from the mother, one from the father, and causes the person to actually have the problem. A lot of people are carriers, and they never have a disease, the disease that they have the mutation for, because they're carriers. But when you have both of them coming from the mother and father, you get it. And so you have a much more likelihood of having a disease or having a defect or a problem of some sort, you know, if close relatives marry. But back then it wasn't a problem.
But if I'm going to be the advocate, I'm going to, so God doesn't approve of you having multiple wives.
No.
Okay, then how come he did here?
It doesn't say he approved of it. It just says he had the wife. It didn't. It's just part of the story. It's just, he didn't say I approved of it or anything. He just said Lamech took himself two wives. He's just relating the story. Like I said, he told Moses, write it down. You know, a lot of the Old Testament characters had multiple wives. Mm-hmm. And God never once said he approved of it. You know, and look at the problem Abraham had.
Yeah.
Because of him.
Well, you think he punished him for that?
I would say, it doesn't say specifically, but I would say Lamech probably had issues because of that, you know. But again, polygamy is brought up and people say, well, God, he didn't allow it.
He didn't approve of it.
He let it happen. Because man has free will. Let him do what he's going to do.
Yeah, okay.
So, if you take anything from this, you know, understand that there was a lot of time that elapsed from the time when Cain and Abel were born to when they were old enough to have jobs, or old enough to have vocations, and then even after that, it says a certain amount of time passed, and so by that time, other children would have been born, and that's where we get the terms anyone and whoever. And that's where Cain got his wife from. But of course, that's not the main thrust of the story. The main thrust of the story is that Cain wanted to approach God his way. Okay? He wanted to do it with the best of his crops, the prize pumpkin, you know, at the fair or whatever. And he wanted God to accept him the way he was. And he wanted God to accept him and what he had done. But yet he knew better. He knew better. I would say that over that passage of time, they had probably offered sacrifices. Yes. Because we know that God set the standard. God set the standard. God set the precedent for sacrifices. Back when he made the clothing for Adam and Eve, he had to kill an animal because he clothed them in animal skins. And so he set the pattern right there. This is what I want you to do. And so more than likely, they had done this many times. And more than likely, Cain had to go to Abel and say, I need, you know, one of your flock to sacrifice. But all of a sudden he says, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to offer my best crop to God.
Now, you think it was because he didn't want to humble himself anymore to his brother and say...
It could very well have been. I don't know what his reasoning was, jealous of his brother or whatever. But he didn't understand. The key was there's no bloodshed, you know, when you offer a crop.
No.
And he knew good and well. I mean, because that's what God said. He said, you know what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and God was giving him a second chance.
Yes.
He could have gone back to say, yeah, I know, God. I did this. Sorry. I messed up. I'll go get, you know, one of the flock from Abel.
And then he got smart.
But then he got angry, and the Lord says, I can see you're getting angry. Don't let that anger get the best of you, because now your anger plus your temptation is going to cause a big issue if you don't take care of it right away.
All right, I have a question.
Yeah.
We know that Adam and Eve have had more children than these three that is being mentioned. How come they only mentioned these three?
What Moses did when he compiled all this is that he just brought up the stories that were very interesting. That's just like, in chapter 5, we're going to get into the genealogy.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into these people that lived for 900 and some years, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this isn't the only people, okay?
Right.
This is just Adam's line through Seth, okay, that led all the way to Noah, all right?
Yeah, okay.
There were many other, there was all these people on the earth, and they had their own lines of people.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, it said the people, everybody says, well, Methuselah lived 969 years. He lived longer than anybody. Well, we don't know that. He lived longer than anybody in Seth's line.
Yeah.
But there might have been thousands of lines. There might have been hundreds of other people who had their ancestors or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or their descendants, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so we are seeing, it's like you're looking at something in general, and then you take a microscope and you focus on one thing. And that's what Moses did. He focused on this because he wanted people to understand what happened to Cain and why and what the difference was.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't mention all these other kids. But you can assume that. That's one thing you can't assume. That Adam and Eve were given the command to be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
So they would not have waited and not had any children for all those years while Cain and Abel were growing up and started working and all this. And so...
Yeah, because this doesn't even say that these were their first children.
No, it doesn't even say that.
Mm-mm.
But we kind of think it because she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. I do think they were the first two, but you are right. It doesn't actually say that. But a lot of people think that those were that there's only four people in the earth all that time. And then Seth was the replacement for Abel. And then there was five. Well, no, because she did not have was it Seth? Yeah. She did not have Seth until after Abel died. And of course, he didn't die until he was a grown man. We don't know how old he was when he died. And so all that time, they would have been having other children and populating the earth. And their children would have children.
Do you believe that Cain was the first child?
I do think so, yeah. I think that's significant enough that Moses would have put that in there. And I don't see a problem with believing that. It doesn't say, and he was the first child. It does not say that. But it does say that Eve said, I have acquired a man from the Lord.
Yeah.
If she had already had a man from the Lord, she probably wouldn't say that. You know, I have acquired a man.
She had to acquire a man before they could have children.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I think if she'd have had three or four kids before she had Cain, it wouldn't have been that big of a thing. But she says, I have been able to produce a human being. For the first time, I have been able to actually produce a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, along with Adam, you know. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they have to be a man in order for her to have relations. This man to have relations
right.
with another.
Right, right. And then she bore again, and this time so because you see those two, and then it tells. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of time passes because Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain was a tiller of ground. So a bunch of time passed. And then after that, even more time passed. And in the process of time, and then we have the story. So we don't know how much time passed, but a lot of time passed. Enough time passed for them to have grown up. Maybe their kids, Adam and Eve's kids, had even had other kids before this happened. And there was a civilization, and people had branched out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Of course, no one was allowed to go back to the Garden of Eden. We know why.
Mm-hmm.
So... there's still a lot that we don't know, but I hope that for those of you listening, I hope that clears sum things up, because a lot of people really get caught up in like, well, where did Cain get his wife? You mean you have to just read this, you have to understand what must have happened, what we can read into the story. And even though we've explained some of that, still the key is not that. The key is that Cain tried to, because of pride, tried to offer his works to God, mm-hmm. and that does not work. So let's pray. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, we know that this is a very controversial chapter, and different people have different interpretations of it. But just looking at the way it's written, Lord, I think we could infer certain things and understand. And it certainly, if we look at it and let the Holy Spirit guide, there's no reason for people to really be confused by this or say, well, I'm not going to believe the Bible because this doesn't make sense, Lord. We need to dig deep sometimes and understand what's going on and believe your word. And we pray that we can do that and teach others. In Jesus' name, amen.